You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast brought to you by Lakewood Chev and the 2017 Chevrolet Silverado. 0% financing for 84 months, plus up to 10 grand in price reduction. This is better than employee pricing and better than 20% of MSRP. Check it out only at Lakewood Chev.
Let's get to the Rashad Report brought to you by Auto City Edmonton. 49, remember, 49 for the down payment. Okay, that's below 50. All right, Rashog, how you doing?
Good, buddy.
We can talk some injuries, both Eskimos and the Oilers today. I guess let's first of all start with Slepyshev, who won't be starting at training camp, and I was told pretty unlikely right now, maybe to even be ready for October 4th. Who do you think this benefits the most? And obviously it's like the worst timing for an injury because when he does come back, Slepyshev is then going to try to have to play catch-up.
Yeah, well, benefits Puljujärvi, no question. Time could benefit Yamamoto a little bit, although whether he's ready or not will be determined mainly by him, but it could open up some space for an extended look or extended opportunity. Great Pajula potentially maybe can fill some time over on the other side with one of those top few centers. So there's a few guys that could benefit from it. And yeah, it's a tough break for Slepyshev. He was going to get a good look in a skilled position. I think the Oilers are kind of wondering about, you know, having McDavid in the middle with a Maroon or Lucic on the left and then a fill-in on the right that maybe a skilled player who's on a value-type contract, almost kind of Pittsburgh, like they found their guys. And so that was going to be Slepyshev. At least he was going to get a crack at one of those spots. So now he's got to wait, and he's going to be playing catch-up, as you said, and that's not ideal for him. He needed to come in, have a good camp, establish himself, get a bit of offensive confidence going.
Shogar, is it different because this guy is a young player, you know, relatively or inexperienced NHL player, and maybe he doesn't know exactly what it takes to be ready every year? If he was maybe 6 or 7 years deep, would be different.
You mean Slepyshev? With
Slepyshev, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you've seen this before, Strud. I can't comment on Slepyshev's kind of, you know, his knowledge level about training, how hard he's trained in the past. I mean, He looked like he was in decent shape in you know when he played on the team. He looked okay in training camp in previous years. I don't know. I mean, an ankle injury is an ankle injury. Whether it's I'm not sure exactly what happened or how it happened. So I don't know. I mean, whether it was a freak thing or whether it was overtraining it. Maybe he wasn't quite ready and he'd been undertrained and pushed it too hard. Until you have that answer, you don't really know. But all I know is that you got to show up healthy. Otherwise, other people are going to sit at your place at the dinner table. That's just the way it goes. And I'm sure the Oilers will have plenty of opportunity for him when he's ready to go. But the simple fact is, and you know this, Struds, like for a guy that isn't locked and loaded with a spot that's his 100%, every game you're not available is a chance for somebody else to pull further ahead of you on the depth chart. And so it's up to these guys to train in a way that gets them healthy and gets them ready.
Yeah, that's why I think this maybe opens the door for Puljujärvi. I mean, he should wake up when he heard this news and feel very excited. I know it's a teammate, but, you know, there's an opportunity now for him, not just in an exhibition game, Shogar, but, you know, in the line rushes, in training camp, in practice, he's now going to be playing with guys that maybe he'd only be doing it maybe 50% of the time or 60%. He could be doing it now 80, 90% of the time playing with a Draisaitl or a Leon or Emmett Connor or a Nugent Hopkins. I think there's a big chance for him to grab a piece of that top nine action.
Yeah, no, I agree. And this is difficult for the Oilers, though, guys, because, you know, if there's one position where you didn't want them to have any injuries or where they didn't want to have any injuries, now they don't want any at center because you're talking about their marquee guys. So let's place that caveat on this comment. But the right wing spot is where they have the least amount of depth and the least amount of assuredness at the position. I mean, it's a giant question mark over on that right side. Is Strome going to play the right side? How comfortable is he going to be over there? How much are they going to use Draisaitl on that right wing? Then you have Slepyshev, big question mark. Kujula could play over there, but it's his off wing. Puljujärvi, who knows if he's ready? So the right side is very much up in the air as it is, and now you take a guy that they were just starting to feel like they could rely on a little bit, you pull him out, and it just sort of throws everything up in the air even further. So Puljujärvi needs to take advantage. He needs to realize, it's unfortunate when a teammate gets hurt, but it'll open the door, and if it gets him extra looks in exhibition with whoever, McDavid, the Draisaitl, whatever opportunity presents itself, Puljujärvi's going to have to grab it. He was going to have to do that anyways, but he might get a prolonged look now because they don't have another guy. I mean, Slepyshev is he's a skilled player, and Puljujärvi, it's the same thing. And they're, you know, they're both decent sized guys. They're kind of interchangeable in some ways. And so now that guy you were interchangeable with isn't an option. So big opportunity for Puljujärvi.
Do you guys see any Tyler Pitlick surprise story coming out of training camp and early in the season for the Oilers this year?
What's a Tyler Pitlick surprise story?
Well, last year he scored 8 goals in 31 games. No one has expected him. Remember, he wasn't even, because he had the brutal training camp the year before, was one of the first cuts. He said in his own words, he just soiled the sheets. And remember, he wasn't even scheduled to play the first preseason game. Somebody got the flu and he came in and scored and then just rode it. And, you know, he still finished on the Oilers, I think, like top 11 in goal scoring, and he only played 31 games. So who would be that? No one was expecting Pitlick to do what he did, scoring that many goals early on in the season.
So who do I think could be that guy?
Yeah.
Zach Cassian. Cassian has the skill. He's got the pedigree. And with Slepyshev being gone, why not give Cassian a look in some of those spots? I mean, he played a little bit with McDavid. In spots here and there. He can skate with those guys. Got some finish. He can be physical. Let's say they want to try a different option on the left wing with McDavid. Well, Cassian is a big physical go-get-the-puck right winger that can skate up there and play with him or Draisaitl as well. So in terms of guys that have the skill to do that and become that guy, I would point to Cassian and go, hey, there's nobody saying that he has to be a fourth line right winger. I mean, he's shown in the past he doesn't have to be that. Just because the expectation on him changed and was a little bit more realistic doesn't mean he can't exceed expectations.
Any concerns about him getting distracted, though, jumping up in those lines, and all of a sudden he's like, oh, maybe I'm a skilled player because he seems to find a role here.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you in that once he figured out what that role was and got comfortable in it, he got really good at it. You know, but he banged a few in the playoffs, right? And he got some offensive confidence going and was pretty good there for a little stretch. And he was one of the more consistent players in the playoffs in the early going there. I don't know. I think that's coaching. I think that's a coach making sure that a player is very clear on his assignment, very clear of his expectation. And if they sense that he's getting big for his britches and getting away from what works, I think that's where your assistant coaches and your coaches have to have the proper handle on the guy and snap him back. So could it happen? Yeah. Do I think McClellan is well-equipped to handle that? Sure. I don't know, guys. I feel like Cassian's approach is so much different than at any other point in his career these last couple of years. He just seems so – I mean, he got his contract now. He's got some security. And he did that working his way from out of the lineup to a fourth-line role, third-line role, and happy with where he's at and in his life and on the ice. And I think he's going to have good perspective on whatever opportunity he gets. So I don't know. I think maybe those days are behind him where he lets those sorts of things happen.
Sounds like Cody Franson is going to take a PTO with Chicago. Do you feel the need at all to bring a D-man, maybe kind of like Greiba on a PTO, or not a player like him, but like they did last year, a defenseman, into camp on a PTO just to kind of see where maybe V2 comes out or these types of guys heading into the season?
Well, if what they have now stays relatively healthy, then I think they're going to be okay. But how do you bank on that? I mean, how do you know? Because really, they're one. Let's say Ovechkin comes in and doesn't look like he can play at the NHL level the way they maybe had hoped that he'd be able to. And what if Mark Fain continues to, you know, show what he's shown the last couple of years, which is he's past it and that the foot speed isn't there. So now all of a sudden you're playing guys in the wrong position. You're elevating guys that maybe shouldn't be there. They don't have enough depth that they can just keep plugging. I mean, losing Reinhart hurt them in this way because he was really that guy, that up and down guy, American League, NHL guy that could have been comfortably in either. So losing him sort of hurt. Now, I don't think that'll be the story with Ovechkin. I think we'll be talking about a player who looks like he belongs and, in fact, maybe even challenges Eric Greiba for that number six spot every single night. I think we could see that from this player. I have a little bit of experience with him. I saw him in depth at the World Championship a couple of years ago. He made a bit of an early splash last year in Jersey. I like his look. So maybe he surprised, and maybe that's the guy. I mean, the, going out and getting him is the reason why they don't feel like they need to bring in another guy. Or maybe they're desperately searching. I don't know. I don't have any inside info on what they might be doing, but I think they're going to be okay where they are with OV2 coming, with Greiba locked in, and as long as they don't run into two or three injuries on D.
It's kind of interesting. You know, you mentioned OV2, and I I've only seen him play a couple times with the Devils and watched a bit of stuff, but I see him as a Philip Larson. That's who I see, a guy that can move well, can carry the puck. But I believe that when it comes to, you know, competition and being competitive, that we know that it seems like the coaching group wants, I don't see him having that. So I'd actually put his plus minus of games at under 10.5.
Yeah, and that's interesting. I mean, the World Championship is a different beast. It's not as physical. You're not pushed in the same types of ways that you are in everyday NHL play. So how that translates, I'm not sure. And you probably watched him play more with Jersey than I did. So I guess we'll see. Now, I don't recall feeling like he was soft out there. You know who we should talk to as well is Ferraro, because he was there with me and he did some of those games with me, and we talked about him at length. I'm not sure if that's an issue with him or not, his ability to kind of stand in there and no matter what's happening around him and stand firm and still hold his game together. But that's what we're going to learn, right? We'll learn, because he's not coming here with a spot locked in. He's going to have to earn one. And so if he shows up and doesn't look like he understands where his place at the table is or isn't, then maybe that'll tell us what we need to know about him. But if he shows up, Struds, and you see early on, like, oh, this guy's hungry. Like, this guy clearly is hungry. Then maybe it's a little different. You know, maybe that won't be the story. But, you know, exhibition season is going to be really important for him. He's going to have to play well and make himself stand out a little bit in exhibition. He can't back his way into this camp.
Well, Shogar, I had two scouts who are in the East, and when I asked them about it, they told me he will look very good for you in the preseason and early on, and as the games got tougher, he got he had more disappearance, basically what they said.
Yeah, got pushed out of
games. Yeah, and or wasn't involved in the games as much. So we'll see. And you know what? First year in the league, I could see guys can get overwhelmed at times, and so we'll see. Struds has talked about this as a player. The games are much easier in the preseason than they are in the first 10 games. It's just the season gets harder in a lot of different ways. So we'll see how it goes. Now, quickly, Kenny Ladler left the field today for the Eskimos. What can you tell us, because I think you were down there, what's up with Ladler?
Yeah, you know, and Jason Moss, he just doesn't really give up much. And full disclosure, I didn't see Ladler leave. I showed up, and he had already left. So I didn't see what might have happened. All I knew was he wasn't there, and they said he'd left. So when Jason Moss started his scrum, it was the first question, and he said, oh, he's just resting. We kind of went, well, he wasn't resting before. He was practicing, and then he just decided to go rest, and he's resting. So then Jonesy or Matajong or someone followed up and said, well, is he available for the weekend? He said, yeah. So now Jason is super coy about injuries, doesn't like talking about them, gets grumpy when you ask him, and rightfully so, he's a coach. He didn't seem worried and indicated that the player would be available, which is important for them. They're banged up enough, and they don't need to be losing regulars heading into this weekend. So I would say there's no alarm bells going off, but we'll wait and see if he's on the field or if he's in the mix at all tomorrow.
Shogar, we will see you tomorrow at the Eskimos. Talk then. Have a good one.
Okay, take care, buddy.